you can host the best backyard barbecue. When you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
What's up, nerds? This is Just a Couple Arslings, the Last Kingdom podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Jessica Toomer.
And I am Alyssa Fixie. We are writers for Sci-Fi Wire's Fangirls who started recapping The Last Kingdom in season 3, so we decided to bring that nerdy, horny energy to Podcastlandia. Jessica, season 2! We made it!
Ah, we've done it! I honestly didn't think we were going to get here, so I'm really proud of us both.
Yeah. I feel like, you know, we worked really hard to get here. So
There were hurricanes. They were like acts of God.
Right.
There were broken computers. I mean, season 1 was a real journey for us. And we stuck with it. And I have to say, I'm so, like, impressed with myself because I normally don't stick with things.
Well, we're a team. We're in this together. So
we did. We pushed each other. And I think our reward was the Emmys this weekend.
Oh, my God.
Can we just, like, talk about that? I know people listening in, the Emmys are going to have been, like, a while for you guys. Like,
right.
it's a month or so.
But reach back.
But you should still be talking about it and thinking about it.
Yes, agreed. Because there was a lot. So I feel like we need to, like, break this down a little bit, or we're just going to talk about it for, like, an hour. So
Sure. Who
was your, like, favorite win of the night? Like, what was the thing that really got you juiced?
Oh, God. Okay, so this is difficult because I'm such a Fleabag stan.
Yes!
So, like, seeing her get up on that stage, Phoebe Waller-Bridge, seeing her, like, constantly. I mean, she should have just lived on that stage because she won, like, basically everything.
Yeah.
And I was so happy every single time. Mm-hmm. And she just gave the funniest speeches. I mean, just so Fleabag. I mean, it was great.
Yeah.
But I do have to say, Michelle Williams had, like, the best speech of the night, I think.
It was, like, the best speech. But I gotta say, what does Amy Adams have to do to win an award? Because Sharp Objects was so good, and she was so good in it. And, like, honestly, like, Fosse Verdon, I'm sure it's great, but I didn't watch it. So
I didn't either. It hurt my heart. But I think at this point, we all should recognize that, like, there could be an entire Amy Adams category at the Emmys and Amy Adams still wouldn't win that category. Like, she's cursed. It's something. I don't know what it is.
Yeah.
But the fact that she's done so many wonderful things and she still hasn't been recognized, it's just, like,
it's insane. But you're right.
I can't have hope anymore.
I know. But you're right. Michelle Williams' speech was very, very good. And I really respected her for, like, taking her moment to, you know, sort of shine a light on an issue that, yes, people are talking about it, but I feel like a lot of people are talking about it without actually doing anything. So I think that her, you know, calling us back to be like, hey, let's talk about pay disparity was really important. But yeah, I totally agree about Fleabag. I, like, going in, like, the comedy, I feel like the comedy sections this year were particularly stacked. So I had a hard time because I do love The Good Place and I love Schitt's Creek so much.
Ugh, so much.
So part of my heart hurt a little bit, but I love Fleabag so much. And especially since this was Fleabag's last go, you know, like, Phoebe Waller-Bridge has been very adamant that season 2 was the last season. The story is told. And honestly, Fleabag season 2 is a perfect season of television. So I'm so glad that it got the recognition that it did. And Schitt's Creek and, you know, The Good Place can split the difference next year.
Yeah, there's more. That's the thing that I kept reminding myself when, like, Catherine O'Hara didn't get an Emmy and other things, like, didn't win because Fleabag got it. It was just like, okay, like, this was their last season.
Right.
They needed to get recognized because the first season didn't.
Yeah. I feel like I remember watching the first season, but I feel like nobody really talked about it that much. And then season 2 came around and everybody was like, holy shit.
Look, and I'm not going to say it's all Hot Priest,
but
it's a lot
helped.
Hot Priest, okay? And it really, I'm still salty that Andrew Scott didn't get nominated for anything this year because I really feel like his character upped, like it elevated that show.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, like Phoebe's writing is just incredible. And so that's why they won. But yeah, it was like a little bit strange to me that he didn't get like recognized at all. Whatever. He lives on in our hearts.
He lives on in our hearts.
And in our fan fictions.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Breaking the fourth wall. Ugh, it's too much. Yeah. Did you have any like big disappointments or snubs or anything that really wounded you deeply?
Okay. So I'm going to say that I really liked The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel the first season. I've not watched anymore.
It's fine. Like, that's the thing. Like, it's like it's a perfectly good show, but it's not as amazing as like all of the awards glory would have it.
Right.
Be believed, I think.
Agreed.
Like, it's good. It's better than a lot. But, like, if you put it up against, like, a Fleabag, a Schitt's Creek, a Barry, a Good Place, like, it's not quite in the same league.
Well, and here's the thing. Like, for me, I thought I really did like the first season of that show. And
sure.
I thought, just end.
Yeah.
Like, just it felt like fresh and new and just have that and then just end it. Like,
yeah.
I felt like they could have maybe wrapped up the story in that first season of like, mm-hmm. okay, she goes on to be a comic and then just have that be the ending and not drag
Keep
it out
going.
So much because I felt like season two was a drag. God, and now I feel terrible because I cannot remember her name. Mrs. Maisel won in the supporting actress comedy category. And
yes.
I really...
Wait, let me look up her
really,
name. Alex Borstein, that's her name.
Alex Borstein. And she had a great speech. I mean, just like really inspiring speech. But I really wanted Shannon Clifford to take that home because I just thought Claire
and
Fleabag.
Their dynamic it's so good. Like, that when she tells her you're the only person I would run through the airport for. Oh, my God. Like,
yeah, it's Fleabag season two is a love story, but it's a love story between Claire and Fleabag. It's,
yeah,
it's like... So it just felt like all of those wins for Fleabag, it really, I love that Phoebe won, but mm-hmm. I really wanted Clifford to win too because,
yeah.
I don't know, I just felt like she was outstanding this season. So
yeah,
that was my snub. What about you?
Well, here's the thing. The snub comes with a caveat. Like, so it was the supporting actress in a drama category and basically Game of Thrones split the vote. Like, I think they had like four different women
Ridiculous.
Nominated.
Yes.
And... And I can't, like, obviously, I can't say anything against the girl who won because I don't watch Ozark. I'm not sure anybody
She's
watches.
She's pretty terrific.
Sure.
I've seen the first season. She was pretty terrific. I haven't
okay.
seen any more.
So I'm not going to say that, like, anybody in Game of Thrones was better than her, especially in this final season. But it really kills me that Lena Headey never won for Cersei.
Mm.
She was nominated, I want to say, four times, possibly five, and she never won. And I'm not saying she deserved to win for this season because mostly she just like cried and stood looking out a window and it was drank wine. She wasn't given much to do, but I would have loved for her to be recognized in like a sort of legacy way because she was consistently so good.
Mm-hmm.
And like Dinklage is good, but he certainly didn't deserve to win for this season. He hasn't deserved a win since like season four.
Yeah.
So, like, I feel like they recognized the wrong Lannister in this final season, you know?
I agree. I think there's a thing of, like, so Dinklage is great. And
he's so
he was
good.
Great
and he
in the
was
beginning
good.
Of the show, the first few seasons.
But the material didn't service him
off.
Well. Yeah.
Yeah, it dropped off. And I think the voters just kept going with him because there's that, you know, nostalgia. Like, he was so great in it, and the first few seasons were so good.
Right.
That I think that carried him into, like, later seasons because I definitely don't think he deserved it this season. But that's, I mean, part of that, though, is because the writing was just such shit. So I don't want to, like, place it all on, like...
Sure.
I don't want people to think, oh, he didn't deserve it because he wasn't a good actor. He, like, acted the shit out of what he was given.
Sure.
It just wasn't
But he was given
subpar
material in season eight, so.
Right, exactly. But I agree. I think that's such a disservice to Lena and what she did on that show because she was, you know, there were other villains and everything, but she was the villain of that show.
She was the villain.
And such a talking point on that show. I mean, yes. Things wouldn't have existed without Cersei. You know what I mean?
Right.
That kind of tension wouldn't have happened.
And she was so compelling and so nuanced, like, especially in the later seasons. Again, if you look at some of the villains, like Ramsay Bolton and whoever the basically off-brand Johnny Depp. What was that guy's name? I forget.
I'm like Johnny Depp. Euron.
Yeah, Euron Greyjoy. Sorry. I was like, what's that?
And Johnny Depp.
What is that fucker's name? Like they were just mean. Like there was just a cruelty, but there was nothing underneath it, you know? It was just there was nothing to make them particularly interesting. And Cersei was always so interesting, you know? Like you know, she did not deserve to win, but she also kind of deserved to win because she worked harder than anybody in Westeros. And I just, I don't know. I will be conflicted about Cersei until the day I die. So.
See, but for me, like, Cersei was never, I mean, in this season, I guess, but she was never a supporting actress.
She was the lead
actress in a drama. She should have been nominated for that for hell, like 3 or 4 seasons.
Yeah.
So it's just, it was a wrong category. It was a wrong season for her. And I really hate it for her because she put in the work.
Yeah.
So, we love you, Lena.
We love you, Lena. You're an Emmy winner in our hearts.
In our hearts.
And also, one of my favorite things about the Emmys is always the fashion. And there were a couple of looks that I really loved. I loved Jodie Comer's look a lot. I liked the clean lines, the white. It was so beautiful. I loved Zendaya's green dress. It was.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. Like, she was incredible.
That was my look of the night, for real. I mean, she was working that dress. And she even wore glasses.
Yeah,
she wore her reading glasses.
That was adorable.
And it still worked.
Now, was Euphoria not eligible yet?
Not this year. So it's going to be eligible next year. I think season one will be.
She better get a nomination next year because she was so good. But also, I want to talk about Gwendolyn Christie and her Jesus-y
get-up.
St. Gwendolyn. I just, like, when I first saw it, I just, like, it was such an out there look. But at the same time, I really loved it that she was just, like, fuck it and just completely rejected, like, the idea of the male gaze and having to be sexy and all that and was just, like, I'm going to look like a regal queen and I don't give a shit. And it was just, it was awe-inspiring not to be, like, slavishly devoted to Gwendolyn Christie, but I was in awe of her.
But also to be devoted to Gwendolyn Christie because she's amazing.
Right.
And that look was just so bold. And I appreciate when people take risks.
Yeah, like, exactly.
We've seen at this point, and I don't want to say it like fashion. I mean, fashion repeats itself. Everything repeats itself. Mm. But we've seen pretty much everything we could see.
Right.
And this felt like something I hadn't seen before.
Never.
So
and she looked incredible.
Like what I appreciate was, she looked beautiful. I mean, she looked like she had descended from the heavens just to grace us with her presence this one night. And I really appreciated that.
Yes, I 100% agree. Plus, I always love it when I see a tall woman still wearing heels because I'm 5'10", and I sometimes feel, like, a little weird, like, when I wear heels and, like, tower over everybody, but, like...
Alyssa, you're 5'10"? I didn't know that.
Yeah. I'm quite tall. My sister is 6'1", so, like, she's almost...
Holy shit!
Yeah, we got that strong Dutch stock in us, and we're all pretty tall. I just, like, I love seeing her just, like, wearing those heels, being, like, a foot and a half taller than Kit Harington. It's so good. I love it so much.
Do it.
Yeah, Emmys. Loved it. Except for the no host. That was weird.
Except for the no host.
Super
I think we
weird.
Can all agree there's a way to do it. That was not the way. We don't have to really dig into how awkward and uncomfortable it was. It took just as long as what it would have with a host. Mm. Maybe let's like cut the bits for
the
presenters
bits.
Next year.
Just
cut
like
the bits.
Just have... Phoebe Waller-Bridge and Bill Hader present everything. Make them the hosts next year. They were incredible. I want six seasons and a movie of them together. So
I want a rom-com.
Oh
stacked.
My god, it'd be so good.
No, yeah, I think maybe next year try getting a host back that's funny and cutting all the bits and just have, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
we don't need that.
Right, we don't. We really don't. So. Anyway.
I think we've wasted enough of your time talking about the Emmys. Right. I hope you enjoyed.
Right. All right. Season two.
We've done it. We've got here.
Word of the victory is being spread throughout the land. People will hear that it was God given. He was amongst us.
The war has been won. Alfred's been painting his mural for I don't know how long, because I'm not sure how long time has passed.
Okay, I looked up like historically what the timing would be, and
of course you did.
I looked at like the first three seasons. I looked up to see like what years roughly they're supposed to be covering, and so like season one was 866 to 878, and then season two is 879 to 887, and but the show plays a little. And when I say a little, I mean a lot loose with, like, the historical timeline, because, like, Edward was born in 874. So at the end of season one, he should have been, like, 4 or 5 years old instead of an infant. And, like, the reason I looked this up was because we went from Athelflaed being a little girl to Athelflaed being basically grown.
Grown-ass woman.
Right. Over the course of, you know, however long. And so by the end of this season, Athelflaed historically would have been about 17. So,
She's right now.
Right now.
Like, her age is right now.
Right. Her age is correct for what it would have been at the end of the season. But the beginning of the season, she should have been about 9 or 10, because she's a little bit older than Edward, about 4 years. So they basically were just like, you know what? We're ready for her to be a more interesting player. And they just aged her up right away at the beginning of the season, which honestly is fine. Like, Athelflaed's
timelines, man.
Yeah, it's just, you know, they play a little fast and loose with it. It's fine. I don't really care that much. But I was very curious to, like, see what it was supposed to be, because I was like, oh, yeah, she was a kid. And now she's, like, you know, learning how to use a sword with Seapa, and it's great. But, yeah, so she's supposed to be, like, late teens at the end of the season. But so they just went for it and aged her up about a decade early.
that's totally fine. Seeing her was a bit of a, like, shock, because I was like, okay, well, how much time has passed? And then also, more importantly, I think, at least for me watching, I just wanted to know, from the battle to where we are now, like,
it's about
how
a
much
year.
Time has passed.
It's about a year.
Yeah.
It's been, it's, like, pretty close in terms of, like, starting the season, so it's not like Uhtred's been, like, wandering around drunk and whoring for, like, a decade. But it's been between, like,
six... A year, though.
Yeah, about 6 months to a year since Athendom. So, yeah, he's had some time to mourn Isolde, build his relationship with Hild. I just, like, their friendship is my favorite... is one of my very favorite things about the show. And I love that she's just, like, always there calling him on his shit. And, you know, really... she really pushes him to be a better man. And I just... she's the best. She's the best.
So, yeah. I mean, what I love about Hild is that... so, like, in one scene, she's, like, throwing buckets of water on Uhtred, you know, telling him to stop his drinking and his whoring and to, like, get his shit together. And then the next second, they're like, strapping up their horses. And she's like, I understand, like, you're drinking to forget Isolde, but that's not doing her memory any good. You know, like, she told you to take this path. We need to take this path. So it's a lot of, it's tough love from her. And I really appreciate that, because I think that's what Uhtred needs. That's what he got from Breeda in a way. And I think he's been missing that since she's been gone. And Hild kind of fills that role. She's just a little bit more religious and not as quick to anger.
Right. She's a more measured influence than Breeda is, because Breeda, while she keeps it real with Uhtred, she's also always there to be like, yeah, let's go fight some dudes and fuck shit up.
Let's kill.
Right. So I think Breeda, while she does keep it real with Uhtred, I also think sometimes she indulges in his more base impulses. So Hild is there to be like, hey man, let's try it this way instead. So, but yeah, and you know, there's, you know, they won the battle, they took Ethandune, but at the same time, there's already, in that sort of vacancy that Scorpa and Guthrum left, there's already two dudes rising up to fill the villain void. You have the Viking brothers, Siegfried and Eric. messing stuff up in the north. And yeah, so Alfred's already got, you know, somebody else to worry about. But also, okay, I want to talk about this whole deal with this Northumbrian king.
Forgive me, Lord. Please, Lord. May the gods protect you on your quest.
What do you know of my gods?
Nothing, Lord. I meant no insult.
Siegfried, leave him. He's just a priest. Come on, brother. We have Scots to kill.
Yeah, so this priest gets a vision from a saint saying that the slave named Guthred is going to be the next king of Northumbria. And I feel it's rather rich that the priests are like, oh, yeah, vision. All right, let's go save this guy. He's king now. When they talk so much shit about the Danes and their sorcerers and they're looking for signs, when this is basically the same thing, just like Jesus sanctioned and not Odin.
Right. I mean, it's very hypocritical. I would expect nothing less from these priests at this point. Mm. Okay, so from what I understood, I feel like we met, there were a lot of names thrown around this episode that we hadn't heard before, so, mm-hmm. It could get a little bit confusing. But from what I understood, Guthred was a Dane.
Yes.
Was baptized, became a Christian,
mm-hmm.
then his family was killed, or his dad was killed, and he was taken slave by the Danes.
Yes.
So it's almost like saying, you know, if Uhtred, if someone had a vision that Uhtred should be king of Cumberland or whatever, he comes from a very mixed background that you would think these priests and lords would not be very welcoming of. And yet Alfred is very quick to send Beoka, send the silver, try to bargain for his life because this priest had a vision and he's supposed to be king of Northumbria. I mean, it's a little wild to me that this is the man they're kind of backing.
Well, at this point, it's more the Christian influence than the explicitly Saxon. You know, because at the end of the last season, Guthrum is basically allowed to walk free because he converts. So for Alfred, sure. It's more, yes, he wants a fully Saxon England, but it's more the expansion of Christendom, I think, for him. So that's why he's all in on getting Guthred out and establishes king because they have the religion, if not the nationality.
You can definitely see Alfred getting a boner when they're talking about that vision and expanding his influence beyond Wessex. It's that's just what gets him horny, I guess, because.
Well, yeah. I mean, you saw literally when Aelswith comes to visit him and he's stay, we've been, talking about God and England, and that just gets both their engines running. So yeah, it's definitely that's what they want. That the expansion of Christendom more than anything else is what Alfred wants. So
standing in the way of that are our Viking brothers.
Yes.
Causing we get problems. To meet them. So they're basically kind of occupying York. Well, I guess it's present day York. It's Efrewich on the show,
and they're killing Scots, part of me is I get that Alfred sees them as a potential threat, but at this point in time they're pretty much leaving Wessex alone,
right? But Alfred's high on this victory, so yeah. He's already beat a great Dane army, we've beat Ubba, let's just continue on, we've got the momentum, which I get. I think he's forgetting that Uhtred was the main reason they won all of those victories.
He always
and
forgets
he's not
that.
Around.
He always forgets
so,
that.
Yeah, that's true. But so Eric and Siegfried are kind of enjoying the spoils of the North. I'm not a fan of Siegfried. I think he's a dick, but I think we all know
Eric is great.
My God.
Plus, speaking of bringing it back to Fleabag, I loved seeing that actor in season 2 as well as Danish Claire.
As Claire! Claire. Oh, my God. Just totally different characters.
100% different.
But, yeah, there are so many, 6 degrees of separation with Fleabag. I feel like we could just go on and on.
Right. Yeah. But, yeah, it's a very different vibe here on The Last Kingdom as, bloodthirsty Viking. But the appeal is still the same.
The appeal's still there. And yeah. Especially in this show because both brothers are big warriors and they're leading this group of Vikings to go raid and pillage. They leave this guy behind to watch the village.
Heston, the worst. Heston, this guy will plague us for forever.
Yes, he's a worm. And he is also really terrible at that job.
Very bad. He gets overthrown by some priests.
Like, by priests. How embarrassing, my dude.
Yeah.
By priests.
Rogue priests led by Roger from Outlander. And
oh my God, that's who it was.
Yes.
Ah,
yes.
I knew I recognized him.
Yep.
Oh, he's a turd in this one, though.
I don't like him on Outlander either.
Okay. I don't, you know what? I'm not going to argue with that.
I
don't have strong feelings about him either way.
Yeah, he's fine. I liked him up until the last season, but the last season I just did not care for Roger on Outlander. But anyway, yeah, so he gets like overthrown pretty quickly by some angry priests, and that's what Uhtred rolls up and finds. He finds these priests are in control, Beaka's there, they're all ready to go and save Guthred, and Uhtred's like, well, might as well help him. Like, I don't have anything else to do, really, so...
Well, I think the thing that was very
appealing
to Uhtred
is the Kiartan
connection. The trade is happening on Kiartan's land.
Right.
Yeah, so
yeah.
Kiartan's up there, too.
Yeah.
I guess he's pals with the slaver or whatever. All of this is happening on his land.
Yes.
And so when Uhtred finds that out, I think his interest is peaked a little bit. And he's
okay,
well... I was sent up here. Azolt had this vision. My sister's still alive. This is all coming together. This is fate. And it kind of does feel like that because
it is fate, I think.
Things are working out really well for him at this point.
Yeah. Yeah. And
the timing is interesting.
The timing is uncanny. So,
yeah.
But yeah, he's always ready to bro up with Beaka anyway. So,
have you been stealing from Alfred, Father Beaka?
Uhtred, oh my goodness, Uhtred!
What a joy it is to see you.
And for me to see a Halicent.
I have been praying that our paths would cross. This is a sign, God's will.
Oh my God, yeah, they're so cute, their little reunion.
I know.
Sometimes it's so easy to forget that Beaka is a priest.
I know.
Because he feels like a dude that could just have a drink with you and you'd have, like, a damn good time. You know
right.
what I mean?
Yeah.
And then he opens his mouth about, like, St. Cuthbert or whatever, and you're like, ugh,
All right. Back it up.
But I feel like if you could get a couple drinks in him, he'd be a fun time.
Oh,
so
yeah.
Beaka, maybe that's what Uhtred sees.
I think so. He sees Beaka the drinking buddy, and that's how he can stomach Beaka the priest. So
right. I get it. Hey, whatever you got to do.
Right.
But what's interesting is, so Uhtred agrees to go. Hild is not sure about it. Again, Hild, just such a ride or die because, you know, I think Beaka does care for Uhtred, but he's not above using him for his own gain.
Oh, 100%.
Hild is totally not about that and sees that in Beaka and calls it out, which is... It's really interesting because she's a nun, you know. She started as someone just like Beaka.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like since being with Uhtred, maybe that's loosened up a little bit and she's, you know, she's really come to care for him. And I think that's sweet. And you see that when she's trying to warn him against, you know, going. And of course, he doesn't listen to her, which he never does, but she'll never stop trying.
Right. Yeah. And I think this episode was really good in establishing how Hild has sort of become his right hand at this point. Now that he doesn't have Rita, he doesn't have Leo Fritsch anymore. So I know the absence was felt
too soon.
Yeah. But yeah, like I love the playfulness in their friendship too. Like it's not just serious all the time. Like, you know, she laughs at him when he's all, oh, I could sleep better next to a woman. She's like, haha, bye.
Should I get another bucket?
Right. She's a stronger woman than I am.
I know.
But yeah. And I think there's such a beautiful, like, underlying of trust there, too. And that you can really see when she's talking to him about how she wants to learn how to fight and how she wants him to train her to be, like, a shield maiden or whatever. I love that he's like, all right, let's do this. And it's just, their friendship is my favorite. I love it so much. I love it.
There's just a lot of respect there. And
yeah,
I think,
a lot of respect.
It's sadly, I don't think we're used to seeing that with, like, men and women friendships on TV, not just in the show, but in general.
In general.
I think there's always an underlying sexual tension or
right.
Like a competitiveness and like there's always something added to the pot. But
there's not
with this,
a lot.
It just feels very pure.
Yeah, there's not a lot of like purely platonic friendships on television between the sexes. And like, yeah, there's like that moment where he's like a peeping Tom watching her bathe and she's like, listen, don't do that. I'm with you, Lord, because I am safe with you. And so I loved that she was like, I trust you. Don't make me regret that, you know?
Yeah. And I think that means, I think that really, like, hits with Uhtred.
It does.
You know what I mean? That strikes a chord, and he's like, okay. And I, like, that's what I love, is because, like, yeah, you could, I mean, Hild's gorgeous, so of course you're gonna, like, want to get with her, duh.
Yeah.
And Uhtred is also very good looking. So it's like, yes, these are two attractive people, and sure, maybe, like, he appreciates how beautiful she is, but when she sets her boundaries, he's like, cool.
Okay.
Got it.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's no resentment for her rejecting him.
I think that's,
there's no pining. Yes. It's just like, all right, got it. That's it.
I think the lack of resentment is my favorite thing about it, because I feel like so many times, you know, like with I hate the idea of like the friend zone, you know, where it's like, all right, here's my punch card.
It's not real.
If I treat you like a human being six times, I get sex, right? Like, I hate that sort of like trade off. And I like that this platonic relationship is given the respect that it deserves, and that it's seen as a really valuable thing. And I love that. I love that.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, they're on the road together. Hild's still ride or die. She's going to stick by him. And they go with Bjorka, who is rolling deep with some lepers.
Lepers. I was like, they are literally using lepers as human shields. That is dark.
Oh, God. Some camouflage. Yeah, it's a look. It's a choice. So they're rolling deep with the lepers, going up into North Country. And Uhtred kind of knows. I mean, he picks apart real quick that this slave trader, whatever, he's not going to bargain with them.
Right. He's a slave trader, probably not to be trusted. Yeah. Agreed.
Yeah. That's a logical thought. And so he comes up with this kind of brilliant plan to send Bjorka, the other priest, brother True.
And Hild
into the lion's den on their own to kind of like, basically, he wants Bjorka to kind of spread this, like, ghost story, like, scare the shit out of these Danes.
Yeah.
Saying that, you know, these lepers are riding with this kind of ghostman, this horseman from the dead or whatever, just to kind of, like, scare them a little bit, so that when Uhtred and the lepers ride up, there's already, like, this kind of culture and current of fear, and they're able to kind of capitalize
on it
and kill a few, make the rest run, and get their guy. And it's kind of brilliant.
It is brilliant. It's very, like, it kind of reminded me of that moment from The Princess Bride where they pretend to have the Dread Pirate Roberts and set Fezzik on fire.
Oh my gosh, yes! I'm sure that was the exact inspiration
for this. But yeah, like, Uhtred comes rolling up screaming about how he's Odin's messenger from Corpse Hall, and I'm like, yeah, I'd be afraid too.
Corpse Hall?
Yeah, I was like,
where's that?
That sounds bad, and I don't want to go there. So, yeah, I liked, like, I loved seeing Sven grovel in the dirt. It had been a long time since we've seen him, and if I have to look on his horrible one-eyed face, I'd rather do it from the ground.
God, he's such a little, like,
hate that guy.
He's just such a sack of shit. Like, I can't
stand him. Yeah, that's
He's so soft.
Ugh.
And it's like, I mean, at this point, especially on this show, I would rather, if you're going to be a villain, if you're going to do
just be a villain.
Be bad.
Be bad,
like, be
all the way.
Mean. Right. Be, like, evil. This guy is such, like, a little whiny punk.
Right.
But he's still doing the bad shit. He's just like,
ugh.
I don't know. It doesn't feel earned with him. Like,
yeah.
I want to, you know what I mean?
Just,
with Scorpa, with Guthrid even, with Ubba, like, it felt earned. Like, they were bad dudes.
Yeah.
This guy is like, he's like that high school bully that, like, never had love, you know?
I know.
He's just, like, picking on other people, and you could just,
he
if
just
you really
wants
dug
his
into
dad's
him a little bit,
he just
he
wants his dad's
down.
Approval. Yeah.
That's all he wants.
Oh, my
yeah,
God. Oh, my God. He's Kendall
toxic
Roy.
Toxic masculinity. He's Kendall Roy. He's not. Don't say that. Don't say that.
I know.
Because I have, like, the hugest crush
Listen,
on Kendall
I know.
Roy
I
right
know.
Now.
Me too. Okay? I can't even talk
and
about it.
You know what?
It.
That brown suit at the Emmys that Jeremy Strong wore.
It was bad.
It didn't kill it. It didn't kill it, and that's how bad it's gotten.
I know. Woo, Succession, love it. Anyway, but yeah, like Sven, they, you know, fucked him up. They left him for dead. Send him into the woods. That was pretty great. Yep, blindfolded into the woods.
He ran into a fucking tree, which is what he deserved.
Yep. Yeah. So, yeah, they go, they save Guthred, and they bring him back to his home, which was Northumbria. Yeah. Anyway, so they bring him back to his home. And but basically on the road, you talked about earlier how Guthred kind of has this like mixed background with the Danish and also the Christianity. So there's the Saxon influence. And that kind of brings him and Uhtred together immediately. You know, like he sort of sees a kindred spirit in Uhtred and gotta give him some credit. He recognized Uhtred's value immediately. Like it took Alfred forever to realize, hey, Uhtred is a good person to have on your side. Guthred is like, all right, this guy got me out. This guy is not only quite a warrior, he's also a thinker with his whole scheming, you know, being Odin's messenger plan. And so he's basically like, all right, I want you to run my army. That's
it. Yeah, he wants to snatch him up.
Yeah, and Uhtred's like, all right, build an army and I'll lead it. And I'm like, yes, Uhtred, somebody is recognizing your value.
I'm indebted. My words have no tune. But they're sincere. You have brought me back to life.
And you owe me.
I do. I do. Serve me.
Serve you?
Or join me. A king needs a commander.
Isn't it crazy how, like, quick things can change when someone just, like, sees you and is like, yeah, you're of worth. Like, what can I do for you? What can you do for me?
Yeah.
Like, it feels like that's all Uhtred needed was someone to see him and see the value in him and then reward that value accordingly. Like, to treat him, like, as an equal, to treat him with respect, to recognize what he brings to the conversation. And, yeah, I really love that moment between him and Guthred when they're on the road and they're kind of just, they're, you know, he's talking about, this dude, and it's probably because he was... It's probably because he was made a slave and he's pretty humble. I mean, you can't, like, he doesn't have heirs the way that Alfred does.
Sure.
And he's just like, dude, you saved me. I owe you. Like, what do you want from me? Mm-hmm. Okay, let me see how I can make that work. Mm-hmm. Like, there's no pride getting in the way of that relationship as of now. And so I really, I was happy for Uhtred. I felt like maybe he's going to get what he deserves, like get a king that really believes in him.
Mm.
We'll see if it stays that way, because it feels a little too good to be true.
I know, way too optimistic.
We gotta let's put the priests in the mix and then see fuck happens. You know what I mean?
Right. So they go back to his hometown. We meet Guthred's sister Gisela. Ugh.
Oh, girl.
I know.
Gonna see more of you.
Right. You can tell immediately that.
Just know by the way Uhtred looks at her.
Yeah.
We're gonna see more of you.
Uhtred is interested right away because Uhtred is Uhtred, and he has a pretty short...
Uhtred would think a goat in a skirt is beautiful, according to Beoka, and I couldn't disagree with that because, oh, God.
Yeah.
Just anything.
I know. It's one of those things,
anything
like...
that moves.
I had to look... That was another reason I looked up, like, how long has it been? Because I'm like, all right, Uhtred's bouncing back. He's ready to find his next lady. He went through three in the first season, so we might as well get through one now. But yeah, she's going to be important later. But yeah, we had that whole, his whole coronation where he like had to hold the hand of the shriveled dead martyr.
Good God.
Yikes.
These priests like get such a hard on for saints. And like that whole scene with the corpse, they walk his coffin in and then unwrap him and have Guthred hold his hand while swearing his, like, you know, fealty to England and to this idea of Northumbria. And it was a weird look.
It's a weird scene when they're, and Uhtred, you know, I thought it was interesting because, like, I feel like last season Uhtred would never have, like, deigned to go along with this because he's so... you know, not a Christian, so, you know, set on being seen as a pagan. But now he's like, all right, I don't believe this, but I kind of want to run this dude's army, so I'm going to play along. And I think that shows, you know, Uhtred is a little smarter now. But yeah, like you said, like the priests are there, like, immediately suspicious. They're like, this guy's not on the up and up. I don't believe that he has good intentions, which is silly because Uhtred is the best, but whatever, these priests are gonna meddle. There's also the news that Kjartan knows that he's alive now.
Mm.
And even though he was the one who, like, wrecked Uhtred's life and killed his family, Uhtred will now, you know, bear his wrath.
It was pretty rough. I mean, so we follow Sven. Sadly, Sven doesn't get eaten by wolves, which I thought at first might happen. And so he goes back to his dad, and he's like, yeah, this happened. Kjartan ends up finding out that it was Uhtred pretending to be this, like, demon horseman or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And so he tells his man that, you know, he's going to plant a spy and Guthrid's army, and hopefully that guy will kill him and bring him Uhtred.
Mm-hmm.
There was a guy. Oh, Alyssa, I did want to, like, take a moment because so that guy with the bald head and the dots on his head.
Yeah.
Fix.
Yeah.
It's spelled, well, at least
it's almost,
on the,
honestly, it's almost my, like, last name. I know. And honestly, like, more people spell it that way, the F-I-S-K-E, than the actual
right.
way. I don't know why my last name is so difficult. It's five letters and it's spelled, it's pronounced phonetically, Fixie. But that's it. And it's, but yeah, I get Fisk more than anything else. So I was like, ah, maybe this is where it came from.
I'm going to be honest with you. For the first 6 months of our partnership,
I know,
of writing recaps together, I really thought it was Fisk.
I know.
But
that's
when I saw that name, I was like, oh, maybe they're related. Maybe this is a descendant.
I hope not. But
look,
yeah,
he's got a strong look with those
listen,
beads, like those dots on his forehead,
right,
okay?
Right, I know. But yes, like, it's just, I respond to a lot of different things. That's not the worst mispronunciation I've gotten. That's definitely the most common one. I feel like I get that more often than the actual spelling and pronunciation of my name. So it's fine, whatever.
Okay.
I'll get over it.
When okay. It's tumor for me.
Yes.
You think people don't misspell that?
Oh.
Or people try to, like, make it French sometimes.
Tumor.
Like, tumor. And I'm like, oh, bitch, I wish. No, it's tumor. So I get it.
Yeah.
I get the struggle. It's real. You know who else is struggling, though? We have to talk about it because it was really difficult for me to see.
I know. I know exactly what you're going to say.
Our girl, Tira. She's living with the hounds in the basement.
Mm-hmm.
She chooses it because, I mean, why wouldn't you at this point? Do you want to live with these, like, assholes upstairs? No.
No. And the dogs are all clearly, like, ready to die for her, so, yeah.
Yeah, she's got some kind of, like, some magic happening or something.
Yeah.
You know, she's chanting.
She's the dog whisperer.
I mean, I feel it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel it. And, you know, it's just sad because, you know, that's how, like, what she's had to do to survive. And,
mm-hmm.
It really pissed me off to see her interaction with Sven and to see him, like, I mean, he clearly, he's got a weird, twisted love for her. That's obviously
toxic.
Clear. It's very toxic. It's very gross.
Mm-hmm.
But he still sees himself as, like, this protector of her in a way, because he's like, my dad will kill those dogs again and the men will rape you and all this different stuff. And it's like, you know what? Like, you did this to her.
You did
know,
this to her.
You're not saving her. You're not protecting her, even if you think you are. Like, you put her here. And
mm-hmm.
she asked you to do one thing, like, kill her. You know what I mean?
Right.
And it's like, you can't even fucking do that.
Right.
So it was just a lot. It was hard to see her like that.
I know. Well, it's been a few years. I'm not 100% certain on, like, everything. But, like, she's been, a prisoner there for a couple years at least. And that just, that takes a toll on a person. And you can tell that, like, she is not well. And that,
no.
Please, someone come and save her, please. Because she she is living in hell. It's awful.
She's suffering. It's pretty bad. And so it makes me, like, I understand, you know, Uhtred couldn't have known. And he's gone through his own shit. Everyone's going through shit.
But now,
but
like, come on, please.
Let's stop the drinking and the whoring. Let's get on it. Let's do what we were supposed to do and go save your sister because she needs saving.
Yeah, agreed.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about all from the comfort of your home isn't a total mystery with Byte Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, what's your secret? Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Now it's time for our next episode wishes. This is when we issue our demands for the upcoming episodes, like the spoiled toddlers that we are. Here's what we want to see, when we want to see it, and why we won't be denied. Alyssa, what do you want to happen next episode?
Well, I mentioned this a little bit earlier, but I really love that this is the season where Uhtred really starts to get his shit together. You know, he's got a rocky start at the beginning of the episode, like, you know, getting woken up with a bucket of water is not a sign that you're not at rock bottom. So he's got a lot to work through, but you can already tell that he's like learned from his mistakes in season one and he's ready to be a bit more savvy. You know, he's a long way off from getting back Bebbanburg, but he isn't just sort of flinging his sword around without a plan anymore. Like, he's making deals and he's ingratiating himself with men of power and he's really learning how to play the game. And I like seeing this side of our dude. And I really can't wait to see that develop some more. You know, like, obviously there's going to be obstacles, but I feel like Uhtred is really learning from them instead of just feeling wronged by the world. So, yeah, I like seeing that side of him. And if he can go and chop off Sven and Carton's heads, even better.
Yep, I agree with all of that, especially the chopping of heads. Because for me, I need to see a resolution to this Carton storyline. I appreciate that, you know, he's the big bad starting off the season, but I want it to be finished pretty quickly because I don't like seeing what's happened to Tira. I want her to reunite with her family and to, like, have some peace. And as interesting as this is to see kind of, so Uhtred needs to face his past, and that's something he has to do.
Yeah.
I just want to see him do that and then get on with it. So I don't want this to kind of pull us back in any way, because I do agree. I feel like there's been some growth in him after this battle and after Zolt's death. And I think if we stay too long with this kind of revenge storyline, we're going to start backtracking, and that's not going to be good for our dude. So, yeah, if we can maybe go the Game of Thrones route and have Tira feed Sven and Kjartan to her dogs, and then that be the end of it, I'll be very happy.
The Last Kingdom has a massive cast of interesting characters, and nearly everyone gets their time to shine. Our Arsling of the Week is the character who truly goes above and beyond to win the war or simply win our hearts. Jessica, who was your Arsling of the Week for this episode?
Look, Uhtred is starting out strong this season, and I'm going to recognize it because I don't know how long it's going to last. I feel the positive vibes from you, Alyssa, but I'm too much of a pessimist to really, like, buy in. So I'm going to really enjoy this moment because Uhtred has done a lot this episode. He has gotten his shit together. He's befriended Hild and, like, been a true friend to her, and he's going to teach her some sword skill. Appreciate that.
Yep.
He's devised this incredible plan to go save Guthred. I mean, that was not his job. He didn't have to go along with that. You know, but he's the reason it succeeded, as many things on this show. And I think he's not going to be doing this forever, I don't think. But I think right now we should give him some praise because he's earned it. And hopefully this carries on into the next episode and the rest of the season. But Uhtred using his brain is really a lovely thing to see.
Yeah. Basically, it's pretty obvious that mine is Hild this week because I've been basically gushing about her all episode. But yeah, I really love her friendship with Uhtred. Her no-nonsense attitude is such a good influence on him. And I feel like she's one of the few people who really, like, refuses to take a shit. And he needs that in his life. But also, I like that Hild, like, yes, she's looking out for Uhtred, she's looking out for others, but she's also looking out for herself as well. You know, she doesn't want to find herself in a moment that she can't fight out again, like with last season and how she was raped. Like, she doesn't want to find herself not having the upper hand again, and that's why she wants Uhtred to train her. Like, she wants to protect others, but she also wants to protect herself. And I think that's a really, you know, reasonable reason to want to learn those skills. And I love this goddamn nun. Like, she's my favorite. And I just...
She's the best.
She's the best. And I love seeing how she sort of uses her influence for good. And I just, I love her so much.
All hail Queen Hild.
Queen Hild of the water bucket.
All right, guys. Get ready to shame Nun, the worst character of the episode, with us. It doesn't matter if you're Saxon or Dane. Anyone can be a turd, and we're calling out the biggest one of the episode. So, Alyssa, who are you hating on this episode?
Listen, like, it's got to be Sven and Kerritan. Like, I know you're going to say the same. 100%. Like, 100%. Yeah. They're the worst. And they need to go. Like, yes, I'm sure we'll find out more about, you know, how awful Siegfried and Eric are. Not Eric, mostly Siegfried. Anyway, like, yes, they're terrible, but the cruelty that Kjartan and Sven are inflicting, it hits so close to home, you know? We've seen how it's taken a toll on Tira, so they need to go, like, yesterday.
Yeah, I think, you know what, if you think that you're in love with a woman whose family you burned alive and then captured her and raped her repeatedly, I'm assuming, for years. That's not love, dude. And you need to die.
Yeah. Yeah. There's really no other way around it. They need to die for what they've done. So
goodbye.
Bye.
Get out of here.
Now, this is clearly a very serious podcast about a very serious show, but sometimes it's nice to indulge in a little thirst. It's 2019, the world is on fire, and honestly, we deserve this. So this is our time to celebrate the thirstiest moments that really blew our skirts up this episode. So, Jessica, how did you feel about the sexy quotient of this episode?
Okay, I was really pleased because I felt like we went through a bit of a drought at the end of season one.
Truly.
Lots of battles, lots of killing, babies dying, almost dying.
Well, not the baby dying part, but the battles and stuff is good.
Don't agree so quickly.
I'm sorry, I'll let you finish.
people are gonna think you like for babies to die. No, I think we definitely went through a dry spell in last season's, like, final few episodes. And so it was good to see we start off, you know, we get a glimpse of Uhtred, his body's still banging. It's looking good with a little bit of cold water splashed on it.
He may be drinking a lot of ale, but, like, he's keeping it tight. Yeah.
Yeah. Obviously, in his waking hours when he's sober, he's doing some...
crunches.
Some squats, some crunches. Things are happening. But I think there's no way, if Eric's in an episode, there's no way I'm going to recognize any other thirst trap on this show. Because he is just, and maybe this is like colored with like a bit because I know what happens with him and I know how he is.
Yeah.
I'm not going to say it. Okay. I just know. And spoiler police.
Yes, sorry.
No, 100%. I'm not going to ruin it for people because he is one of the best characters the show gives us.
Sure, he's very good.
But I think, there's just something about him, especially this episode. He's like, so he's about to go raid. He's like handing off his village to a bro he trusts. He's wearing those fur shoulder pads, which I would love to have a pair for winter. Mm. Like, yeah, there's just something about Eric.
For those frosty North Carolina winters.
Yeah. Exactly. You know what? Okay. I'm not gonna like say too much, but I just will say that I don't like the heat.
Yeah.
And going from New York to North Carolina, it's really difficult. Mm. And I have been wearing blazers for the past like couple weeks, even though it's been like 80 degrees outside.
Wow.
Because I feel like I can strong arm Mother Nature into giving me fall weather.
I get it. I'm like running up my air conditioning bill because in the evenings I really want it to be cold so I can wear like cozy socks and a sweatshirt.
Yes, and some sweatpants.
Yes.
And cuddle up with a blanket.
Exactly.
Like, you know what? Fuck this shit.
Yeah.
So yeah, I would buy those shoulder pads. And I'd wear the hell out of them.
Yeah.
But yeah, Eric's my thirst trap.
I agree. About you? Well, for me, it was more like an observation that I chuckled at to myself. So we didn't mention this earlier, but Bree and Ragnar are brought before Alfred. They're like dragged out of prison. And he's like, hey, I might need you guys to help me, which is just like peak Alfred being entitled. But I really laughed because like they've been in prison for a while now, like 6 months to a year. But Ragnar's side cut is still as sharp as ever. Like he's
been
like trimming his side cut in with like, well, he doesn't have a sword right now, so I don't know how he's doing it. But the
one of those guards must double as a barber or something.
Right. So that little detail I enjoyed to myself, and I always love seeing Ragnar. But yeah, I definitely agree about Eric. To reference Fleabag, I would get a haircut that makes me look like a pencil if he was into it. So
hells yes, Claire. Claire and Claire together forever.
Forever.
No, I agree. Yeah.
Agreed.
He is a man that appreciates a modern haircut, and you don't find those often. So
it's true.
I think it's safe to say that we have never been unenthusiastic in our fandom. We annoy our friends, our family members, and now you, our devoted listeners. Here, this is Geek Out, which is where we will offer up our humble suggestions about what we think you should be watching and reading. And Alyssa, you go first.
Okay.
What are you into this week?
Well, this weekend I went to go and see the Downton Abbey movie.
Did you?
I did. It was one of those. It was one of those things that when I heard that it was happening, I was like, why? Everybody got a happy ending. Like, why are they doing this? And then I watched the trailer and I was like, oh my God, I can't wait to go back and see Carson. Like, it was so.
It's just going into like a different world.
It's very.
It's such a lovely show.
It is. It's very cozy. And I'm sure there's some overlap, like the Anglophiles loving, you know, The Last Kingdom, loving Downton Abbey. Very different vibes. Probably a fairly similar crowd, though. But I, you know, the movie was exactly what you kind of expected it to be. Like, it's basically like really expensive fan service. Like, you get to check in on everybody and see how they're all doing in their beautiful lives. And, you know, Edith is still killing it. It always delights me that she has the highest rank now. And it just is my favorite. But yeah, like,
she's the best.
Yeah, she is. She started out so awful, but she really became the best. And I could just watch Mrs. Patmore sass people all day, every day. So yeah, like, it doesn't reinvent the wheel, but it's perfectly lovely and is exactly what you'd want from the Downton Abbey movie. So go see it. It's fun.
Definitely worth the price of a movie ticket for that, I think.
Yeah, very cozy, very nice. How about you?
Okay, so I know that I'm like 30 years old, but I fangirled so hard at that Frozen 2 trailer. Have
yes.
you seen it?
Oh, yeah. I watched it like 3 times. Like, I'm so excited.
Okay, look, I love that fucking movie, the first movie.
It's great.
I could sing every song on that soundtrack. Mm-hmm. It's such a banger. and then the second movie coming, it's from the same people, so you know it's going to be good. It's going to be handled with care.
Yeah.
Because it was such a good movie, and it's such a different look for Disney in these kind of like princess movies where it's about sisterhood. And like embracing your inner strength and finding what you're good at and like, you know what I mean? It's just finding your place in the world. It's really lovely. And season two, we're kind of, it looks like they're just diving into that more. Like, there's no, I don't know. I just liked that we didn't really see like any love interest put in or anything like that. Like, we're going on a quest. We're going on an adventure.
Love
and these
quest.
Two sisters are heading it up and they're jumping into fire for each other. And yeah. And there's a point in the trailer where Elsa is like underwater and is like wrangling this like ice horse.
So
and
cool.
then she rides it on a fucking wave. Yeah. And it's like, if that doesn't get you going, I don't know
how
what
can
will
you
this
not
year.
Be hyped. How can you not be hyped,
dude? The chills. I was just like, yes, yeah. Ride that frozen horse across the ocean. Like, I will suspend all belief, like,
yeah,
disbelief for that, you know. So yeah, I was really happy to see that. And I mean, I'll have to obviously like have some children with me when I go see it, so people don't think like I'm a grown woman going to see this Disney movie.
Listen, it's
but
fine.
Also, if I can't find a kid
just go.
For hire, then yeah, I'm gonna go see it myself.
Get a kid for hire. Yeah.
If I can't get a kid on the black market to go with me to see Frozen 2, I'll go see it by my damn self.
Right.
And I don't care what anyone thinks.
Right. Yeah, no, I loved the look of the trailer. I like they're gonna like dig into the lore and bring in more magic.
Yes,
like, I'm all about that. Honestly, though, my biggest request is please give Jonathan Groff his own song this time. Like, why would you hire that golden-voiced angel and then give him, like, basically a spoken word, like, basic little lullaby? Like, that's a man who deserves a full song. Give it to him, please.
Look, and he's been kind of trudging along, doing this Mindhunter stuff.
It's very dark.
Very dark. He doesn't get to sing at all.
I know.
So
give him the Dizzy solo, please.
Because he's earned it. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Right.
And, I mean, he's an incredible actor. If he doesn't want to sing, he doesn't have to.
But, like,
but also, you're in this movie. They're singing. Sing something.
Right. Like, you don't put Jonathan Groff in a musical and not make him sing more.
Like, oh, no.
That's crazy. So
he was in Hamilton.
Right.
For God's sake.
Right. He is King George. Please give him a solo.
Jesus. Yeah.
All right, guys. If you want to hear more of our bullshitting, check us out over on Twitter or over at Sci-Fi Wire Fangirls. We've got links to everything below this episode.
And until next time, destiny is all, bitches.